Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Isaiah 58:1. Hypocrisy is peculiarly offensive to God. A large majority of the men and women who profess to know the truth prefer smooth messages. They do not desire to have their sins and defects brought before them. They want accommodating ministers who will not arouse conviction by speaking the truth. They choose men who will flatter them, and in their turn, they flatter the minister who has shown them such a good spirit, while they revile the faithful servant of God. Many praise the minister who dwells on the grace and mercy and love of Jesus, who is not particular to enforce duties and obligations, who does not warn of the danger of hypocrisy or present the terrors of God's wrath. The Lord's work is earnest and decided, above deceit and hypocrisy. His true shepherds will not praise and exalt men. They will come before the people with a plan, with a plain, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. They will bear his message, whether men will hear or whether men will forbear. If men despise God's words and trust in oppression, hypocrisy, and worldliness, they must declare against them God's denunciation, that, if possible, they may be aroused to repentance. If they are too proud to repent and confess their errors, to turn to God, welcoming his salvation and seeking his favor, the Lord will remove his light from them and will leave them to walk in the way they have chosen. Those who drive the Lord's faithful messages into corners, who discourage them, who stand between them and the people, that their message may not have the influence God designed it should, are answerable for the deception and heresy that come into the church as a result of their cause. They have a fearful account to render to God. After the Lord has repeatedly warned his people, and they will refuse to hearken to his voice, and will not be instructed, their guilt becomes peculiarly abhorrent to him. The record of their rebellion is written in a book before him, and will confront them when the judgment shall sit and the books shall be opened.
Let us pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, once again, we're most grateful and thankful that once again today we are in the land of the living. As we look around the Father more than ever before, we can see the signs being fulfilled on every side. There's no reason, Father, for us to be questioning the authority of your word, because surely, Father, we can see and we can hear, based on the things that are taking place, that your coming is even at the door. So today, Father, we ask for double and apostle, your Holy Spirit. We ask you to continue to lead, guide those that are in radio land, and all of our family members and friends, Father, as we continue to wait upon you, that we will continue to search our lives each day of our lives to make sure that we are in the faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministry. We want to welcome our audience this afternoon and say a special welcome to those of you who might be listening to us for the first time. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to give us a call at 322-6273. Excuse me. We have a person standing at the phones, Ryan, right now. So if you give us a call, we'll be able to answer those questions or take your comments. If you want to reach us by writing, you could send it to our P.O. Box, N8993. Or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. Or you can visit our website at www.tpministries.org. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, Turning Point is having a two-hour live call-in show on March the 19th. That's Monday, March the 19th, on the same station from 8 to 10 p.m. That's 2 hours, no commercials. The topic that we'll be dealing with, and the same one we'll be dealing with today, that is false prophets in the world today, or ministers who are not speaking the truth. That is false prophets in the world today, or ministers who are not speaking the truth. That's the topic we'll deal with. And if you have any particular question or comment that you might want us to answer or bring to our attention, give us a call at 322-6273 so that we may be able to research that question. Or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com or visit our website at www.tpministries.org, where we have the websites of Brother Paul, Brother Renwick, and myself. We also have articles written by Brother Paul and by Brother Renwick. And we have other interesting websites, links to websites that we use in our study. But before we go on that topic this afternoon, false prophets in the world today and ministers who are not speaking the truth, we're going to ask Brother Paul to give us an update on his study of the newspapers this week and see if anything that he found that kind of interesting and want to let us know. Brother Paul.
Yes, thank you much, Brother Julian. Once again, good afternoon, Bahamas. Coming up the newspaper this week, once again, the violence and crime and the death of people dying in our country continue to rise. Right now, our murder count is at 14. You know, this week we had the tragedy of death of our brother Steve McKinney, lost his daughter to the hands of death. And we had another, the pastor who died last week. You know, his family is still paining today. Once again, we ask you to pray for these families. Well, you know, once again, the talk shows have been hard, and also the newspaper dealing with this thing with crime. The government is moving from left to right, trying to figure out what to do right now. They're trying to pass a bill on domestic violence, trying to hope that they can solve the crime issue. Then coming on the newspaper on Friday, in The Guardian, the topic was the BCC, referring to the Bahamas Christian Council, hit out at crime. And then coming out of the Bahamas Journal, ministers murder upset clergymen, or ministers murder upset clergy, I should have said. And the Christian Council president, in quotes, the Reverend Dr. William Thompson said, the Christian Council on Thursday called for an immediate end to the slaughter of Bahamians, saying the increasing rate of homicides could lead the country to the country's ultimate end. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, the Bible is clear that it's not going to get better. Once again, I ask you to study Matthew chapter 24 for yourself. And Jesus said these things that are taking place are just the beginning of sorrows. As a matter of fact, when the angels continue to cease to hold the winds of strife, according to Revelation chapter 7, and Micah's style of according to Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, there'll be a time of trouble on this earth when no government will want to be ruled in the rulership during that time. It's going to be a rough time. And when those seven last plagues, according to Revelation chapter 16, begin to fall upon the face of the earth, if you're not on the Lord's side, surely you would know. And there's going to be a time of total chaos. But the good news is those who are on the Lord's side, he will take care of them. The Christian Council president went on to make this statement. He said, however, our people must embrace the teachings. To reject the principles of Christ in their lives is inviting disaster. Let me read that again. He said, however, our people must embrace the teachings. To reject the principles of Christ in their lives is to invite disaster. And when disaster occurs, it's too late to expect to call upon the church to step into the breach. However, as always, the Church of God stands ready and willing to promote, indeed fight, for the interests of the Bahamian people. That's a very powerful statement there. But are they really ready, ladies and gentlemen? Are they really willing to stand the gap? Are they really ready to call the nation to holiness based on God's word? Are they really ready to call people back to the understanding of the importance of God's Ten Commandments in the time in which we live? Where James says, if you should break one of them, according to James 2, you are guilty of breaking all. As a matter of fact, in the book of Proverbs, it says that my son and daughters forget not my law, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto me. But today, men want to trample upon the words of the commandments of God, and they think that the good will come. The question is, does the wickedness in the world exist because men have kept God's commandment? The answer is no. It's just on the contrary. The reason why wickedness in the earth, ladies and gentlemen, is because men have already rejected God's commandment. They have trampled it underfoot, and now the world is in chaos. And now we have lawlessness of crime and result that men are crying out for God to answer them. But would he answer them? Well, last week I read to you from Proverbs chapter 1, where God says, because you reject the counsel, because you receive the word of the Lord, he would laugh when their calamities come. And ladies and gentlemen, I know with painful hearts, God is right now in heaven mourning over his people. But this is not the way he intended it to be. He wanted all of us. He wanted the best for us, ladies and gentlemen. And it pains his heart to know that his children are being treated this way, simply because they have rejected the word of God.
Brother Paul, in your opening statement, I realized that, I think I noticed that you said reverend in quotes. Why did you say reverend in quotes, please?
Well, Brother Julian, the Bible gives a clear indication that we should not take the Lord's name in vain. That's one of the commandments in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. The Bible says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So once we take God's name in vain, he will hold us guilty for doing that. And the reason why I put reverence in quote is because the Bible is clear in Psalms 11, 111, verse 9, that reverend is God's name alone. It says in Psalms 111, verse 9, and he, God, hath sent redemption unto his people. And he, referring to God, has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is God's name. So today it's very important for us to give these names. The name reverence should only be referring to God himself. And today a lot of people use it loosely. They think, you know, God doesn't mind, but God, he does mind. As a matter of fact, he even know like when we call men fathers. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 9, he said, call no man father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. That's Matthew chapter 23, verse 9. Then the Bible tells in the book of Ephesians the titles that we can give to mortal men. Ephesians chapter 4, he said, and he that descended is the same. He that descended is the same that has ascended above the heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And it says, and he, referring to God, has given some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers, for the perfection of the saints, for the working of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith, and to the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, and to measure in the stature and the fullness of Jesus Christ. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10 to 14. So it's very important, ladies and gentlemen, that we give these names to where they really rightfully belong. Who are the saints? Revelation 14:12 tells us. Here are the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God, not the testimony of Jesus Christ. And 1 Timothy chapter 3 tells us we can also refer to them as bishops. But here again, it gives a very strong mandate to those who want to be bishops. That's 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. You can read what is the qualifications for a bishop. And in that same chapter of 1 Timothy chapter 3, it will give you some of the qualifications of which one can be a deacon. So here again, what we must stress here is that a deacon or a bishop must be the husband of one wife. Never it says that you must be the wife of one husband. So here again today we have women who are being ordained as ministers of the gospel. But here again I ask, based on what authority, based on what scriptures? Yes, you can be teachers. Yes, you can be an evangelist or whatever. But by all means, you should not want to take upon yourself the leadership of a pastor or a bishop or a priest. Because here again you're going contrary to the word of God. And the Bible is clear that if we add to the word of God, or if we subtract from the word of God, God will deal with us in the most damning way. That means that we'll be lost at the end of time. You'll read that in Revelation chapter 22, where the Bible says, if we add to the word, or if we take away from the word, God will take our names out of the book of life.
You know, your comments about the crime situation in our land, my mind's taken back to watching the news this weekend. A commercial came on, and there was this a hole in the dam, and the water was leaking out. And a guy walked up, and he tried to stop the hole by sticking a piece of bubble gum in it. I just think back on the crime situation today, and everyone is trying to come up with some sort of solution. You know, some people say, okay, it's the illegal immigrants. You know, we need to kick the foreigners out. Some people say, oh, we need to bring back the cat and eye tail, or execute them, or more police. But each of those solutions are only temporary solutions. We're just patching up a problem that we're not fixing. And quite frankly, the solution to the problem is not a man-made solution. It's not a modern solution, but it's the Holy Spirit of God working in the hearts of men. And like you said, Brother Paul, as time progresses, things will get progressively worse. And granted, every now and then it may seem like you know, it's calming down or the crime rate may drop, but steadily and steadily it will increase. And matter of fact, the Bible, you know, only has in that regard has some pretty grim news, saying that, you know, in the end of time, I was searching for the scripture but I couldn't find it just now, but it went something to the effect that man's heart will be failing them for fear of the things that will be coming upon the earth. And I think we're living in that time now where people are not only afraid of all the news about terrorism that's on the airways every day, but, you know, their fears of the local crime situation. And, you know, people are just almost living on the edge, so to speak. But again, there's only one solution for all these calamities and problems that we face, and that solution is solely in Jesus Christ. No man-made patch fix is going to set things straight.
Brother Paul, again, we can talk about these quote-unquote reverend. Are you saying then that there's something wrong with calling someone reverend?
Yes, it is. There is something wrong with that, Brother Julian. It's wrong for us to be calling mortal men like ourselves reverend. Like I just said just now in Ephesians, Jesus gives the tithes that you can give to mortal men. I mean, it might sound strange to us, ladies and gentlemen, but God means what he says. See, if God decides to take us into heaven doing things that is outrightly wrong, that means he has to take those people who were drowned in the flood, he has to take all of them to heaven. He got to take Cain who killed Abel. He can take a Lot wife who just looked back. So he means what he says, but not because the majority is doing it, that makes it right, ladies and gentlemen. Last week I quote you that the Bible says we should not follow a multitude to do evil. It's very important. The majority was never right. You can do a research in your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I always think about Noah. I mean, Noah preached for 120 years. At the end of his 120 years of crusade, 120 years of evangelism, only 8 people got on the ark. Even the animals obeyed the voice of the Lord. Going in by 7s, the clean animals, and going in by 2s, the unclean animals. And here we are today. I mean, just like Jesus penned it, this is just how it is being played out today. Men are more concerned about how they think or how they feel, and the gospel of men's theology, and instead they turn to the word of God. I mean, there's so much stuff out there, ladies and gentlemen. If it's ever a time you need to study our Bibles, that time is definitely now. Because if we be here during the end of time, we're going to have to give a word before the courts or before our fellow men for what we believe. And they're not going to want to hear what you believe based on some funny book. They're going to, did you get that from the Bible? Because I assure you, most of our court systems, they are based on what the... Especially if you're going to give an answer for your faith. It has to always come from the word of God. So when they ask you, why are you doing X, Y, Z? You can say, okay, according to Ezekiel, or according to Matthew, according to Jeremiah, this is the reason why I feel convicted, and this is the way I should be walking in this time of waste history.
You know, the Bible tells us that, you know, there's nothing good in the heart of man, and it is so true. And unfortunately, you know, as human beings, you know, we like to feel important. We like to receive honor and have honor heaped upon us. We like to be lifted up and exalted. But, I mean, is all of that really necessary? And, I mean, what we're saying, we have biblical backing and beliefs for it, and we encourage you all to study the Word of God for yourself. And the Word of God is clear that, you know, as men, we shouldn't take on titles or anything that is used in reference to God. But the question that you have to ask is, you know, if we're being taught that we should call somebody reverend or give somebody a particular title that the Lord is saying in His Word that we should not do, you know, then why are we being taught such and such a thing? And the matter of fact, the scripture is quite clear in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9. You know, the Lord Himself says that, you know, as people go through their everyday lives and as people claim to worship Him and claim to have religious experiences, that many people are going to be doing these things in vain, and not because they are desirous to be disobedient to the Lord or have a rebellious heart or spirit, but because of what they were taught. And that's the trap that many of us fall into today. We don't study for ourselves. We don't study to show ourselves approved, but we just go by what another man says or what a book says or what some preacher on the television says. But Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9 is quite clear. In vain do they worship me, teaching for the doctrines the commandments of men. And ladies and gentlemen, we don't want to be caught in that situation. We want to ensure that whatever belief it is that we're holding on to, whatever it is that we're doing, that we have biblical backing for those beliefs. I mean, it's the same way as if when we go into our workplace every day, when we carry out a particular task, we have a reason for doing that. And, you know, the company guidelines stipulate X, Y, Z. You know, the Bible is our guideline for everyday life. And whatever we do, we need to make sure that we're operating according to God's word.
Today, we see a lot of women in the ministry, being ministers and pastors, bishops and all, we say. Brother Paul, Brother Renwick, if you want to say one thing to the women, what would you say to them this afternoon?
One thing that I'd like to say to the women today, Brother Jordan, if it was ever time the women of the Bahamas and around the world need to follow the admonition in Titus chapter 2, the time is now. And Titus chapter 2 verse 3 says, and the aged women likewise, that they behave themselves as becoming holy in holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at the home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of the Lord may not be blasphemed. And then it goes on to talk about the young men being sober. But it was ever time the women need teaching around this area, that time definitely now. So the aged women, those women who have the experience, those women who know how to love a man the right way and how to bring honor and glory to their Heavenly Father based on the way they conduct themselves, how they dress, and how they deal with their friends and their co-workers on the job. Then, and a lot of domestic violence has been spring among women. Also give the women the admonition, the word that's coming from the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, verse 9, where it says, it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. And this text was so powerful in the days of Solomon. He repeated himself in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 24. He said the exact same word. He says, better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a house with a brawling woman in a wide house. So it's very important to teach the ladies that in verse 21 of Proverbs 25, if your enemy or your husband be hungry, feed him. Give him something to eat. If he is thirsty, give him some water. For thou shalt heap up coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. See, the Lord is going to be the one to reward thee, not the men and women upon the earth. He is going to reward you openly for being honest and truthful to His word. You know, one thing I think we need to remember as Christians, when we become a Christian, we give up all of our rights. What do I mean by that? You have to become as Jesus when He walked upon the earth. Don't care what men did to Him, He never answered them in no negative way. He always was right on the ball. I mean, He didn't do anything to say anything negative to them. He always just said, as a matter of fact, in some instances, He even kept His mouth shut. And whenever He was asked to do something, if it was in the will of the Lord, He would always do it. And that's how we got to come today. We have to give up our rights. If someone wants to take us to court, let them find you. It's better than to find you guilty and try to fight the situation. Jesus says that if one slap you on one cheek, you must turn and let them slap you on the other cheek. He is trying to show us the principle that whatever man may do to you, if it's wrong, be assured that in the judgment they will give an account if they don't repent. We must always be on the part of, even if we're not wrong, take the act as if we are wrong, realizing that God will reward us openly according to Proverbs when he should turn in the clouds of glory.
But Paul, there's another, and Brother Henry, there's another phenomenon that we see happening in the world today, and that is a call for, in our society, for unity between the church and the state. Should Christians promote this unity between church and state?
No, Brother Julian. The only way, as a matter of fact, Jesus says that. Jesus said, render things which are Caesar's, which are to Caesar, and things to God which are God's. And Jesus and his kingdom were not of this world. Jesus never got into any political matters when he walked upon the earth. There are a lot of ministers of the gospel who are right now pushing for church and state to work together. They see nothing wrong with this. But ladies and gentlemen, past history have shown that when state and church work together, it always ends up in chaos. The records would reflect. Let's do a research. I go back to when there was the time, as a matter of fact, in the papacy system, in the Roman church system, the state and the church still works together. If you should go to Rome and ask to see the prime minister, you're going to talk to the Pope. If you ask to speak to the church leader, you're also going to talk to the Pope. And as a matter of fact, this is the reason why America got started. America run from this form of style of service, where state and church work together. And right now, America said they don't want no king or priest to rule over them. But slowly and surely, the church is now hand in glove with the government, because they want the government to pass laws to enforce spiritual things upon the people. You know, God does not work this way, because that's why he says in John 14:15, if you love me, you must keep my commandments. God very well could have wind us up like a robot and make us behave ourselves. But 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, if you want to come together, we must come together on these rules. 1 Corinthians 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that ye should be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. But not today. The ecumenical movement, if you do your research, they're saying, let us all come together with our differences. Let's just preach love. Don't tell my members why you should go to church on Sabbath. I won't tell your members why I think Sunday is okay. Don't tell my members why they should eat these abominable things according to Leviticus 11, Deuteronomy 14. I won't tell your members. So it goes back and forward like this. But how can we come together based on all these things and all us teaching something different in the Bible, says we must all speak the same thing? I'm confused. But I'm only confused when I listen to mortal men. I'm not confused when I listen to the word of God, because I believe what Jesus says, that we are one body, one spirit, even though we are calling our hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God for us all, who is above all and through all, in you all. That's Ephesians 4:4-6. Jesus means what he says, and that's why he prayed for us before he left on planet Earth, that we all should be one, as he and his Father are one. This is the word. This is the way we must move in today before it's a day too late.
But Paul, while you were answering your question, something came to me, and I realized that whenever church and state join together, there's always persecution. One of the reasons why the church left England was because what? The church and state got together to persecute those who did not want to believe in the church. So it's very, very dangerous for us Christians, I believe, to promote church and state coming together.
It is, Brother Julian, and that's the reason why we need to study the Word of God for us. So that's why we must follow the example of 1 Peter 3:15, that we must sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks the real hope that be within us with meekness and fear. I mean, the papacy system is quite clear on what they believed. As a matter of fact, they're on the record telling you that if you can go by the Bible and the Bible only, you should become a Seventh-day Adventist, because the Seventh-day Adventist Church, through their research, is the only church on the face of the earth that is following the Bible principles. Because, see, the Roman Catholic Church don't believe in just the Bible. They believe in the Bible and the authority of the church. But they say, if you're going to go by the Bible, if you're going to go by solo scripture, the Bible and the Bible only, then you should become a Seventh-day Adventist, because they're the ones that are following the biblical principles. But today, most people want to follow the other churches that which are not Roman Catholic and which are not Seventh-day Adventist. But even the same papacy system says that when you do that, you're following their mark of authority. These are things we need to research. As a matter of fact, an email came from a person this week, and they said, they are doing a research on the topic of false prophets in the world, and they say it's mind-boggling. I mean, they can't believe the research that they have found. So today we can actually do some research. The internet is open for all of us to do our research, and like the Bible says, hold fast to those things that are good, do away with those things which are not good.
You know, in this topic of church and state uniting, I had a long discussion one time ago with a Christian friend, And, you know, he was strongly of the opinion, and this was something that his church taught, that, you know, Christians should be pushing to get themselves into government and high up in government and all type of boards and so on and so forth. You know, but is this, we have to ask ourselves, is this what our Lord taught, and is this in harmony with what's in the scripture? I mean, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2 that we are to preach the word, and that is an instruction to every believer. I mean, it's not an instruction that each one of us have to be the head of a church, but in our own circle, in our own sphere of influence, you know, we are to preach the word, we are to preach Christ and lift up Christ and try to bring men and women to Christ. This is what our focus should be, the souls of men, not controlling the reins of power in government and not seeking governmental power and not trying to have reign or sway over government.
Brother Paul, Brother Renry, a lot of people are saying that things are going to get better. But does the Bible talk about these things happening in the last days, chaos, crime, and violence, as we experience today?
Yes, Brother Julian. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 7, Paul says, "This know also that in the last days perilous time shall come." Well, ladies and gentlemen, these perilous times are here. You just got to spend just an hour watching the news every day, and you know they are here. And what, just like how he penned it, as if he was seeing through the eyes way down here, and he's reading our newspapers. Men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, unable to control oneself, furious or violent. He said, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such, he says, turn away. And surely today, ladies and gentlemen, we are living in those times. And the sad reality is, he said, there are going to be some people, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, who are ever learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth.
You know, one of the ways that Jesus described the last days was using the description of a woman in labor, getting ready to have birth. You know, sometimes the pains and the contractions come, and then for a while there's a little lull in that pain. And I think that's the period that we're in right now. You know, we see a lot of upheaval, and then, you know, we see little times of peace and prosperity. But those periods of peace and prosperity are not for us to fall asleep and get lulled off to sleep. But we need to be awake and always prepared for His coming. And so we know things are not going to get better, but slowly and surely they will get progressively worse.
Thank you, Brother Paul, Brother Renrick. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, Monday the 19th of March, a two-hour live call-in show, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on The True Prophet. How can we tell a true prophet in this day and age?
Let us pray. Most gracious and kind Heavenly Father, we thank You for another opportunity to share Your word with the people, O Lord. And we pray that it's not for us to be lifted up, but that You may be lifted up and people may search the scriptures for themselves and be drawn to You and prepare for Your coming. In Jesus' name, amen.
Once again, our telephone contact is 322-6273. Until next week, may the peace of God continue to be with you and your family. This is Paul Miller.
And Renrick.
And this is Julian Miller. May God richly bless you.